I want to begin by sharing a story with you called Indra's Net. It's a traditional Buddhist and Hindu story featured in our UUA Tapestry of Faith curriculum called Building Bridges. Far, far away in the abode of the great god Indra hangs a wondrous, vast net, much like a spider's web in intricacy and loveliness. It stretches out infinitely in all directions. At each node or crossing point of the net hangs a single glittering jewel. And since the net itself is infinite in dimension, the jewels are infinite in number. The sparkling jewels hang there, suspended in and supported by the net, glittering like stars, dazzling to behold. Now you may wish to close your eyes now and imagine what this magnificent jeweled net looks like spread across the vast expanse of the universe. And now keep your eyes shut and move in close to one jewel in the net. Look at it closely, and you'll see that the polished surface of the gem reflects all the other jewels in the net, just as two mirrors placed opposite each other reflect an image ad infinitum. Each jewel reflected in this gem you're gazing into also mirrors all the other jewels. So the process of reflection itself is infinite. Now I invite you to open your eyes and know that you are a sparkling jewel in Indra's net, as is every person. Each jewel and person is intimately connected with all other beings in the universe. Each has an independent place within the net. And yet we all reflect and influence each other. A change in one jewel or person produces a change, however slight, in every other. Whatever you do to one jewel affects the entire net as well as yourself. This is what universalism teaches us and our seventh principle promotes. You can't damage one strand of a spider's web without injuring the entire web. Likewise, you can't destroy one strand of Indra's net without injuring all others in it, whether that injury is known or unknown. This can work for both good or ill, because of course, just as destructive acts affect the entire net, so do loving, constructive, and compassionate acts. A single helpful act, even just a simple act of kindness, will send positive ripples across the infinite net, touching every jewel, every person in existence. Can you feel how we're all interconnected in this beautiful web of existence? Just think about the delicacy of a spider's web, of how beautiful it is, yet fragile. Now imagine us being a part of that beautiful, fragile web. It might help us recognize that our role in that web is vital to maintaining the strength, the integrity, and the beauty of the whole. So if our individual actions, who we are, and the extent to which our jewel reflects all the others around us, impacts everyone else in our net, how might we wish to review our part in the interconnected web? When we focus only on our own node and not the filaments that emanate from us, we neglect the importance and radiance of our jewel. But if we polish our jewel with acts of kindness, inclusion, and service, then we strengthen the entire web of existence. If we widen our circle of concern to include more than our own concerns, we impact the world for good, my friends. The German poet Rainer Maria Rilke said, "Listen, I live my life in widening circles that reach out across the world." So what does it mean to live our life in widening circles? 2 weeks ago, Annie, Sam and I and a few other Chalice members attended our Pacific Western Regional Assembly online. And this was a conference bringing together congregations and ministers from California, Arizona, Oregon, Washington, New Mexico, Colorado, Idaho, Montana, Hawaii, and Alaska. In fact, the Pacific Western region covers about 1/3 of the United States. And as a region, we're in the process of consolidating our various districts. The Pacific Southwest District, which has been our home district for decades now, voted last October to join with the three other districts of the region for more collaboration and greater access to UUA resources. Now, those of you who attended worship 2 weeks ago, which was led by our region, will have participated in the ritual where we joined the waters of the different regions, honoring and joining the four districts. The idea is to draw the circle wider than our smaller areas so we can share expertise, resources, and widen the impact of Unitarian Universalism. And this regionalization has been under discussion for years now and has slowly been coming to fruition. What we learned during this general regional assembly is that there are new ideas for governance and gathering that take us out of our traditional dominant culture hierarchical models to methods that are based in a more collaborative, connecting, respectful way of being together. And we witnessed one such example as a group of regional transition team leaders explained how they're trying to put together new bylaws for the region that are more inclusive and less hierarchical. They're turning away from the long used Roberts rules and other traditional dominance-based structures to find ways to collaborate that give voice to more. It's a work in progress and we're all learning as we go. We haven't figured it out yet, but we're trying. One of the fascinating new models to emerge from this conference was something called Community of Communities. It's a shift from how we look at and structure our congregations to one that is intentional about building beloved community. And as many of you who attended our Martin Luther King Day service and our mid-year congregational meeting know, we're in the process as a congregation of living more deeply into our mission at Chalice by focusing intentionally on building beloved community. Paula Cole Jones introduced us all to this idea, which invites us to move from a family congregational model to one of community of communities. But what does this really mean? So a church's identity is generally known by its communities. Who makes up the church, what they stand for, and what communities they serve, and so forth. Each church is comprised of various communities, from children to young adults, to parents, to seniors, from the choir and music program, to religious education, to our social activists and leadership teams, from our BIPOC folk and white people to our LGBTQ plus population, from our theists to our humanists and atheists and everyone's different spiritual and cultural backgrounds. You get the idea. Now, there are many more identities and communities within our congregation, and we all belong to multiple identities. Depending on who we're with and what we're doing, we draw from varying identities. Like for me, I identify as part of the following communities: female, cisgender, white, mother, European, third culture, minister, musician, dancer, and there are plenty more, but you get a sense of what I'm talking about. So I want to take a moment now to explore what communities and identities you feel express who you are, both personally and at Chalice. So in a moment, you're going to see links in the chat, which are going to take you to our Mentimeter word cloud. And we're going to ask you to answer the following two questions. The first question is, what identities do you personally carry in life? Now, we invite you to fill up to 5 different identities that you resonate with right now. For example, BIPOC, white, multiracial, US national, foreign national, LGBTQIA, older, younger, middle-aged, able-bodied or disabled, your gender identity, activist, spiritual, theist, atheist, humanist, your professional, whatever you feel are 5 identities that really express who you are at this time. By the way, your answers are anonymous and they're just going to form a part of our general word cloud. So I invite you to go ahead and click the first link now, which should be in the chat. There it is. Go ahead and answer those questions. Woman, mother, helper, elder. I'm going to read them out as they appear in our diagram. Teacher, father. So as soon as you filled it out, hit send, and then it should fill this in. Healer, LGBTQ, organizer, AA, wife, single, male, retired. Okay, I'm going to put glasses on as they get smaller here. Producer, partner, white, hiker, artist, activist, introvert, daughter, heterosexual, man, shaman, American, friend, husband, elder, scientist, transgender, immigrant, caregiver, cisgender, educator, employee, watcher, partner, bilingual, binational, troublemaker, polyamorous, immigrant, retired, dog lover, older woman, student, able-bodied, carpenter, bisexual, partner, nurturer, single parent, gardener, BIPOC, cisgender, Chicana, poet, and so many more. Lover, so many more. They keep changing and growing. And we'll just helper, brother. Oh my gosh, isn't this amazing? Look at all the many different identities we have in our congregation, and I would wager there are many more. Middle-aged, musician, loner, opener, pantheist, Latin. So we're going to save these at the end, and then we will share them with you on our Facebook page later. Thank you for filling all of that out. And now we're going to ask you to answer the second question by clicking on the second link in the chat. What communities are you part of, or would you like to be part of, or see a chalice? For example, the choir or RE or social action or pastoral care or leadership or whatever calls to you, whatever communities you are a part of or would like to be a part of or see a chalice. So if you'll click on the second link in the chat now, and that will take you to the second question. And again, I will read them out as you enter them in and hit submit. Silence while we... Some people are not getting through, so I see feeding hands, LGBTQ in our chat. I'm wondering if there's trouble getting through. Hospitality. There we go. Something's coming through. Women's group. Racial and cultural justice. I'm thinking that's what that means. Racial and cultural justice team. Climate justice. BIPOC. Women's group. Chalice circles. Small music groups. Board. Justice leaders. Drama. BBCA, choir, book group, chalice circles, hiking group, shared ministry, worship, community forum, board, stewardship, worship, auction, techies, community life, young adults, tech team, feeding hands, climate justice, meditation group, elder, LCC, which is our leadership cultivation committee, movie group, chalice circle facilitators, and let's see, book group. Wonderful. I think I called most of them. Chanting group, biking group, social action. All right, thank you all so much. Again, we're going to save this and so that we can all take a look at it later and it continues to grow. All right, my friends. As you can see, Chalice is composed of a series of identities and communities, all of equal importance and beauty. And together we create an interconnected web of love, justice, and compassion. So a congregation based on community of communities recognizes all these multiple paths into the larger congregation. And these paths are not siloed. They don't exist alone, but rather they work together to fulfill the fellowship's mission and vision. And each community within the larger community has an equal voice and is seen for the gifts that it brings to the whole. Again, like the unique jewels in Indra's net, they are all needed. One of the goals of Community of Communities model is that we move away from the individualism that has been a hallmark of Unitarian Universalism, of our constitution and our American society for centuries. In fact, Ralph Waldo Emerson and theologians throughout our Unitarian history spoke of our individualism, of our individual relationship to God, and also our personal rights and freedoms. And this can lead us to interpret our seven principles from an individualistic perspective. And individualism can also lead us to look at our churches from more of a transactional, what can you give me, contractual kind of standpoint, as well as from a hierarchical family perspective in which there are patriarchs and matriarchs. And in the family model, a few people set the tone and others don't necessarily get a voice. Instead, the community of communities model takes us to a more covenantal, collective and collaborative way of operating. It emphasizes relationship over hierarchy, cooperation over competition and dominance. And each community is seen for the gifts it brings to the whole and is equally valued and resourced to thrive. So it's a different vision for how the world can be. Although ancient indigenous cultures have long promoted this kind of more communal egalitarian structure. Now, in some ways, our congregation is already following this model in that we have many communities within the larger whole and we have a shared ministry. But as we increasingly seek to transform our structures and systems to be more inclusive and reflect the beloved community, we might consider exploring further what a community of communities model could bring to our congregation and our larger faith. We might ask ourselves the following questions. What is Chalice known for, both within and beyond our walls? As people come into our congregation, how are we helping them connect with their identity groups and their chosen communities? How are we joining all our different communities together and working collectively across identities to build strong relationships? If we were to approach our fellowship as a community of communities, how might we reframe how we do church? And how would it shift the way that you are involved in this congregation? These are questions that our board, our council, and the Building Beloved Community Advocates might wish to engage with, and I'm happy to share those with you later. Community of Communities is a close relative to sociocracy. Now, sociocracy is a form of governance that has evolved beyond democracy, which presumes the equality of all and is based on consensus. It's said to be a dynamic form of governance, best suited to organizations that want to self-govern based on the values of equality and equity. It's a peer governance system based on consent. And Brian's going to put a slide in there for you to show you kind of a little bit how it works. So this equality is not expressed by the one man, one vote law of democracy. Instead, it's like the Quaker system of a group of individuals reasoning together until a decision is reached that is satisfactory to each one of them. Not necessarily the viewpoint of each one of them, but satisfactory to each one of them. Like community of communities, sociocracy has complex organizations, work as decentralized, nested systems that are semi-autonomous. So they're actually both autonomous and dependent on one another. Small groups or community circles form the basis, and each circle has its own clearly defined aim and authority in its particular domain. For example, a BIPOC circle will know what its members need and will be the authority in that domain. And other circles in the community will listen to and respect their wisdom. Within each circle, there are defined roles to run itself smoothly and share its work. And then there are linking roles that connect the circles to one another. And there are also always intentional opportunities for feedback, as well as a commitment to growth and learning through feedback. So I'm not going to go into all of sociocracy's nuances here, because we could be here a long time just on that topic, but I invite you to explore it further if you're interested. We're going to put a website link into the chat that explains it really well. So you can save the chat at the end and go check it out. But I encourage us to start exploring what a different form of governance might bring to our community and whether it would be more in line with our vision of beloved community. Now, last week, several of us watched a movie together for our BBCA Friday night movie discussion, and it was called The Best of Enemies. And if you haven't seen it, I really, really recommend it. It tells the true story of how rivals, white male Ku Klux Klan leader C.P. Ellis and African-American female civil rights activist Ann Atwater work together. And it's available on Netflix. Through a charrette system, they find compromise and connection around the issue of school integration in Durham, North Carolina. Now, charrettes are a way of finding solutions to complex problems. And some of you may know what they are, but I didn't have any idea about charrettes before this movie. So for those who don't know, charrettes refer to a collaborative session in which a group of designers, often with opposing viewpoints, come together to draft a solution to a problem. And it allows the creation of an innovative atmosphere in which a diverse group of stakeholders collaborate to generate communal solutions. Now, as many of you know, the UUA came out with a book last year called Widening the Circle of Concern. And the reason I bring up all these different forms of governance and ideas for collaboration are because those are some of the steps we might explore as we attempt to increasingly build a beloved faith community. As we heard earlier in our story about the coyote, when we cut others who are different from us out of our sphere of influence, we become shadows of ourselves. We shrink and lose much of our potential and our wholeness as human beings. But when we widen our circle, when we make room for everyone at the table to include ever more perspectives and ways of being, we step into our wholeness as human beings, my friends. We live a richer, more vibrant life. We care for Indra's net, and we transform ourselves and the world around us with more justice and compassion, as our mission asks us to do. So I invite you, my beloveds, to engage with us in our work of widening the circle. Our Building Beloved Community Advocates group is offering multiple opportunities for you to participate and learn. There are the Friday night movie nights and discussions featuring fascinating movies on topics of race and inclusion. And then starting on Saturday, March 12th, our very own Ayanna Gaines will be offering a powerful 4-week life-changing class called This Is America, Racism and Popular Culture. And this class is going to examine racism through the lens of 20th and 21st century popular culture, looking at such artifacts as television shows, books, fashion, social media, and music videos. It's going to be offered on Zoom on Saturdays from 3 to 5, starting March 12th, and it's free. It's free, friends, and exclusively available to members and friends of Chalice. So feel free to join any class session that fits your schedule or take all 4. And you can find the registration link in news and notes, and we're going to be posting it at the end of our service as well. I urge you to attend her class. She is an amazing teacher and filled with humor and such insight. And she gave us a sneak preview of the curriculum this week, and it looks incredible. It's an extraordinary gift she is giving our congregation. Thank you, Ayana. My beloveds, we're undertaking many transformative, spiritually deepening endeavors at Chalice, all of which aim to help us grow into more loving beings in the world. Our world, filled with so much hate and division, needs this from us. Being love in the world is our ministry. Just this past week, as Willie mentioned, neo-Nazis were on an overpass in Newbury Park advocating hate and white nationalism. We need to be advocates and provide a safe, loving sanctuary for all. Lives depend on us. Remember Indra's net and how our actions can impact all others around us for good or ill? I invite you to choose what we can do for good. This coming Tuesday, our local Thousand Oaks City Council is meeting to pass an anti-hate resolution. The meeting takes place online on Tuesday evening, I think beginning at 6 o'clock. And their number one goal as a council has been to create a more equitable, accessible, safe, welcoming, and inclusive government and community, regardless of race, color, ethnicity, religion, sex, physical or mental ability, sexual orientation, gender identity and expression, age, language, education, and or socioeconomic status. Doesn't that completely resonate with our values as UUs? And council members are asking us to show up in support of this goal, to comment and condemn hate in our community. Please see your news and notes for more information and a link to register for that. My beloveds, this is important, vital work. Join us on this journey. Join us in transforming ourselves and our community. Join us in widening our circle of concern. Join us to transform the world through justice and compassion, and join us to love more. May it be so.